What's up, listeners? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the In the End Zone podcast. Just a quick heads up before we jump right into it. You can find this recording as well as some of our previous recordings on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can find us by searching at Settle Down Media on both of those sites. Be sure to follow us on our social media pages. We regularly post on Instagram. You can find us by searching at In the End Zone podcast on Instagram. So thanks for watching this and enjoy the rest of the episode. Peace.
Yo.
Welcome back, man. Sir. You know what? Nothing much, man. We're just chilling. We're having a good time hanging out. For those who are listening and watching right now, Keaton is not joining us this evening filming the podcast because he is doing some business that we cannot really say. So it's a surprise for the viewers and everything. So don't you guys worry. He'll be back. This one's for you.
How's your week been?
Yeah, can't complain. Just studying up. And that's about it. Just hanging out.
Going home too, yeah. Huh?
Going home. Yep. We watched Dexter, Original Sin, episode one together. That was a good time. Great time.
We're going to have to watch episode two and three alone. We could be alone together.
It was good though. How was your week?
You're forgetting something.
I am. What am I forgetting?
You're going home and doing something other than seeing family. What is that? 26th?
Oh, yeah. So I have a job interview on the 26th.
Yeah.
That's why I'm studying.
Yeah, I'm studying.
Not going to announce the company's name. Won't be doing that. But
No need to.
But I'm really excited. Hopefully this is it. Can land this. Don't know where I'll end up yet, but you know what? Further details and information to follow.
Yep. Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah, dude. Well, I'm excited for you. I've had a good week, though, too. We just mobilized into my new job, so I'm with my new team and have been for the last 2 days. Tomorrow, I'm actually going golfing and then to a Christmas lunch, so not much work is going to be done. I apologize to my team if you're listening. They aren't listening, but I've been really excited for this project for a while, so it's been a good time. We had this presentation in front of like some major higher-up guys, like our CEO today, so that was a little nerve-wracking, but went well and ready good. To rock and roll. Ready to rock and roll. But Anthony, we have some football to talk. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm so ready. Let's get
to it. Are you ready?
Green 18. Red 48. Settle down. Wide 80. Sit hut.
We suck. We suck. Get rid of Belichick. Get rid of Mac Jones. Get rid of our entire fucking receiving core.
You guys are 2-8.
That's what I thought.
2-7, 2-8. It doesn't matter. We still suck.
Yeah. So Seahawks played the Ravens. Final score was 28-25. Geno Smith, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. Not really much to write home about that game. Just right.
This is.
I don't think Jared Goff is a top 5 quarterback in the NFC.
Are you putting Justin Herbert over Jared Goff?
Yes.
It was like an interview for like a new podcast company. Called Brazzers. I mean, you could see I'm literally in the I'm in the headquarters right now, dude.
You know what I just realized about that intro is after he's talking about the Geno Smith thing, I realized I took a sip out of a Coca-Cola.
Oh, that's fitting. For the viewers that did not watch the award ceremony, I gave Ant most likely to not drink water on a podcast because he is drinking another liquid award. So that was very fitting. And Ant, I put this in the private chat. However, I kind of want to say this. I just realized when you say, we suck, you have those glasses. And like, I think that's one of the first times you wore those glasses. I'm like, dude, it's so fitting. It's so awesome, man.
So good. Well, let's get on to our week 15 recap, shall we? Yes, sir. Let's just start off with Thursday night, you know, for like Zach said. We weren't able to really watch that game too much because of our award show that we were doing last Thursday. But the final score to that was it was Rams at Niners. Rams ended up taking this win 12-6. Niners continue to lose, and they now honestly need to start going for that draft pick. That's my best advice for the Niners right now.
We'll talk about it later.
Yes. Moving on to Sunday games, we have the Patriots at Cardinals. Cardinals ended up taking this win 30-17. The Ravens at Giants, and Ravens actually destroyed the Giants 35-14. Surprisingly, Derrick Henry did not have a great game, though. He wasn't really seen too much in that game. After that, we have the Jets at Jags. Jets ended up taking this win 32-25. Close game for Mac Jones. Next game, we have Cowboys at Panthers. Cowboys took this win 30-14. Cowboys actually looked like a good Cowboys team, but then again, it's the Panthers defense. Not good. Then we have the Commanders at Saints. A close game. Close game to call, but Commanders end up taking this win 20-19. Bengals at Titans. You see now, Bengals end up taking this win 37-27. Joe Burrow, though, he was not happy. He was not happy with this win at all. He said, "We played like ass. We suck. We should have beat them by at least 40," is what he said. Yep. Chiefs at Browns. Chiefs ended up taking this win, shocker, 21-7. One of the very first games, honestly, that I can say that the Chiefs actually blew out a team in some sense, scoring more than 3 points or 2 points to win a game. Then we have the Dolphins at Texans. Texans ended up taking this win, 20-12. We have the Colts at Broncos. After a horrible, horrible ball drop from Jonathan Taylor, Broncos ended up scoring around 20 unanswered points, making the Broncos win this game 31-13. Bills at Lions. This was a great game all around. Potential Super Bowl game coming up, and Bills have now proven to all of us of why they are honestly the best team in the NFL. Bills won this game 48-42. And we have the Bucks at Chargers. Bucks have taken up this win 40-17. Chargers defense was slack in that game. Don't know what's going on right now. Next game, Steelers at Eagles. Eagles continue to prove their dominance over the league. 27-13 was the final score. Sunday night football, Packers at Seahawks. Packers with their wide receiver threes, somehow they are continuing to win the games. 30-13 was the final score. Monday night football, two primetime games. Monday night football, they got to stop doing this. Bears at Vikings, what a snooze fest. 30-12, Vikings ended up taking this win. Then we had the Falcons at Raiders, another snooze fest, 15-9. Falcons ended up taking this one. And that's our recap.
A lot of good games, a lot of bad games, like we predicted.
Yes. One game I really want to point out first off is the Chiefs and Browns game. Mahomes goes down, ankle injury. Here's the thing right now. This is breaking news, all right? This could be great news for a lot of us right now, unless you're a Chiefs fan. But Mahomes right now is week to week with his ankle injury right now. That's what they've said. He went out in practice. I guarantee you, though, Mahomes is going to be fine. You remember how last week we talked about their voodoo demonic ritual stuff that they always do? Well,
the devil's probably giving him a shot as we speak.
Well, no, that's not, I honestly think that they've already sacrificed a goat. I'm sure Mahomes is going to be fine after that. He's good. Mahomes is probably going to be fine. It's whatever. It's going to suck. But that's honestly that game right there. That's all I wanted to say about that. Zach, do you have any input with that game?
No, I mean, this is one of the games where the Chiefs actually blew out a team, and they won by 14. So we literally said last week that their point differential has been really low for a team, or 13-1, whatever their record was last year. And now they go out and take care of business against a Browns team that's been ass all year. So not too worried about it for at least Chiefs fans. I don't think that Patrick Mahomes is going to be injured, like Anthony said. And they already sacrificed a fucking pig or something, you know.
Yeah,
something went wrong, and, you know, wrong in that sense, but good for them. So they'll probably win next week and win the Super Bowl, and we'll be crying like we always do.
Well, Zach, the next game I kind of want to talk about is the Steelers and Eagles game. Now, real quick, I just want to point out, and I'm going to say it right now, are the Eagles dominant? Because here's the reason why. This is why I say this, okay? So A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts all of last week, they were getting into a little bit of an argument. A.J. Brown said, you need to throw that ball. We need to work on our passing game. It was then cleared up that A.J. Brown was wanted to address the issue, saying that, yeah, I'm not complaining that he's not throwing me the ball. It's just the passing in general. Throw the ball. Stop running it so much. I mean, why would they, right? They have Saquon, right? But the Eagles, because of Saquon and Jalen Hurts combined, that combo, that duo, they've proven to us that they are dominant in the run game. Well, they just proved to us this past week now that they are dominant in the passing game. Because they did not run the ball. It was not a run game at all for the for that Eagles offense. It was pass, 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 and they proved it to us.
Yeah.
You know, and against the Steelers defense on top of that as well. So, I mean, they really proved it, in my opinion, on that. That's just that's all I gotta say. I think the Eagles are I think the Eagles are dominant. I think they really proved to us now that they're they're elite team and Super Bowl contending team.
Yeah, I mean, I agree completely. And the thing is with the NFC is the Lions were that team for a while, but dude, they're getting an injury that's season ending every week. And we'll talk about this later. I mean, it's gonna be in our news section, so I don't wanna say too much about it now, but you look at the NFC and who's the best team, the Lions, the Vikings, the Eagles. I mean, those are the three that come to mind, at least for me. The Vikings keep winning. They've looked really good. But again, the Eagles, I mean, realistically, they dominated this game. It didn't really look close. You know, the Steelers made kind of a run, but again, it wasn't much of a run. And the Eagles, yet again, like I've said, man, they're hard to predict. And the one thing I'll say about Jalen Hurts is, no matter how much shit that that man actually takes, he does back up a lot of his words and a lot of his play. He doesn't talk a lot of shit, super inspirational, super cringy. But when he does play well and the critics are speaking, that man comes to play and lets you know. So he sat down at that press conference and said, is that what you guys want to see? And to defend Jalen, I'm not a Jalen Hurts fan. I don't like the Eagles. However, I think Jalen does not get the credit that he deserves sometimes because, like a year like this, you give the ball to Saquon. He has 2,000 fucking yards. He might have 2,000 yards. And, you know, we look at this and we say, oh, Jalen's having kind of an off year. And maybe his stats say that. Maybe he's not pushing the ball as much as he should and stuff like that. But if you're succeeding to records, like you are succeeding so well that you might set a record, why wouldn't you continue to give the ball? And then you have AJ Brown that comes out and says that, and he fucking whoops the Steelers defense, who realistically have been one of the best that we've seen all year, especially against the pass, and they won 27-13. So I don't think there's much to say about that. I wanted to bring something up about Joe Burrow, but I think we've kind of moved on. So that was just not a good look. Him and Zach Taylor, I'll speak about it. I had the video up, but I don't know if the volume is playing. I was trying to find the video with volume, but him and Zach Taylor got into it. And I guess my quick question to you, Ant, is do you think Joe Burrow is going to stay there in the future? Because like you said, he said we should have fucking won this by 40 points. You could clearly see he was throwing F-bombs at his head coach. His head coach.
Yeah. I think
it's bright in Cincinnati.
Sorry. I think the future is bright, honestly, in Cincinnati. Yeah, sure. They went to the Super Bowl in what, 2021, 2020, whatever year that 2022. Thank you. They went to the Super Bowl. So they're not, so I mean, and not much really has changed with that team. Maybe the offense, the offensive line has gotten 1,000 times better since we saw them in the Super Bowl. I will give them that. And that
defense has gotten way worse.
It's gotten way worse. I think honestly, to fix a few things up with that defense, and honestly, I think they could be a great team. I don't think Joe Burrow is out. I really don't think so. I think they're going to be fine on offense. I think defense, if they work on that this offseason, I think they could be dominant next season because that offense is one of the best offenses in the league, and it's getting wasted this year. So
yeah, I mean, I have the NFL odds up right here in front of me. Joe Burrow has the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9th. Best odds at offensive player of the year, and he isn't even in the top 10 for MVP. However, if his team was 500, he would be probably top five. That's how good of a season he's having. So my prediction is that a defensive coordinator or Zach Taylor's gone. Someone has to fucking leave that organization because you can't have that much talent and be that ass. Something's happening. Right. We saw it. Joe Burrow's not happy, and if Joe Burrow's that guy, and he is that fucking guy, you stay with him, you get rid of a coach that went to the Super Bowl but hasn't done much since. But I'll get into this next game, Matt, just because I feel like it's kind of fitting for me.
Yeah.
The 49ers versus the Rams. What should the 49ers do? And we're in a position right now where we're 6-8. Our projections or odds to make the playoffs are probably less than 20. It's brutal. It's brutal. Right. And 2 weeks ago, I said for the first time ever on this show and really ever about any of the teams I like that we should specifically lose games so we can get a better draft pick. I don't want to lose games. I just think strategically it makes the most sense, because if we were to get to the playoffs, what are we going to do? We're going to get belted to ass against one of these good players because we don't have half our starters in. So at this point, we're 6-8. We just lost one of the worst losses I've seen, which sucks. I mean, from what I saw, and I kind of had it like playing on my other tab when we had the award show going, what I saw was just a brutal, rainy, defensive game that in the end we choked. And that's a reoccurring theme. And we need some offensive line. We need some defensive line. And we need a lot of help. And this draft pick or this draft class is it's full of it. Right. There's a lot of good offensive linemen, a lot of good defensive linemen. You don't want to obviously lose out, but you have to focus on the future now.
Mm-hmm.
6-8, you got to make some contracts happen. You got to start thinking about what you want to do. And one of those contracts is Brock Purdy. I guess before that game, it was solidified that he was going to get a contract extension. It is now not solidified that he's going to get a contract extension, which to me doesn't make a lot of sense just because of one game, one bad throw. Look, I'm not fucking debating if Brock should get it or not. I'm not defending him. I just think that that's a little silly to me. He doesn't get a contract because of one game. That does not make a lot of sense. And I think the 49ers will do the right thing. They'll continue with him. They'll continue with Kyle Shanahan. And they just need to draft well, have a good free agency, and try to get back at it next year. So that's what I think the 49ers should do. I don't know if you have anything else. It's more of a 49ers fan speaking here. I mean, from an outsider, you kind of agree with me. So,
yeah, I agree. I think right now, honestly, if I were a Niner fan, I just want them to tank at this point. There's no point. You guys have a less than 1% chance as of now to make the
playoffs. Oh, is it less than 1%?
It's less than 1%.
Guys, I thought it was like 20. I was still being fucking optimistic. No, I'm not optimistic. Dropped. I mean, Ant knows I'm not fucking optimistic at this point. So,
yeah. So below you guys week, you guys are now have a less than 1% chance to make playoffs. That's not great odds, obviously. And I think at this point, if I was a Niner fan, tank, get the better pick position.
Just move on.
Sign Brock for a 50 mil contract maximum. Whoever is saying sign him for 60 mil, you are out of your goddamn mind. I'm sorry. Crazy. You are out of your mind. That will ruin the team even more if you even think about wanting to extend Brock for a $60 million contract.
And maybe Brock deserves that because of the QB market and how it's been playing out. All these quarterbacks continue to get better and better and better and better contracts. However, if you're the 49ers and you're Brock and you want to win Super Bowls, you can't take more than 50, kid. That's it. That's it.
Do you remember me telling you what your guys' cap space is? If not, I can tell you right now.
Not a lot.
The Niners cap space right now is at $55.4 million. That is not a lot. And that's all going towards Brock.
You know, I mean, that's why you got a good GM, head coach, front office. They'll figure it out. And at this point, just have no faith. It's like my fans.
Not the Saints that have negative $93 million.
It's just done.
Yeah. But anyways, moving on. The last game we want to talk about is the Bills versus Lions. Now, are the Lions in trouble? Are the Bills the best team in the league right now? The Lions have, for those who don't know right now, Lions are getting very significant injuries. There are a lot of injuries happening right now for that team. It's honestly reminded me a lot of the Niners when they're starting to get close to the postseason, right? Yep. It's kind of reminded me about that a lot right now. Bills look dominant. They're the best quarterback in the league. It is not Patrick Mahomes.
Easily.
Josh Allen right now is the best quarterback in the league. Easily.
I agree completely.
Miles. He should win MVP. Bills look good. They figured it out. They have a good dynamic. Josh Allen doesn't have a whining, complaining Stephon Diggs yapping in his ear all the time. He's actually focused. He's got the team motivated. The defense honestly looks great. Sure. Yeah. Let's go back to the score real quick of that game. Actually. Sure. Did the Bills win 48-42 against the Lions? Yeah. That defense definitely lit up a lot of points, but you're winning games. Lions are arguably the best team in the NFC right now. I mean, to me, that's not a big deal. Bills are by far the best team overall as a whole. And at one point, yeah, I said the Lions were definitely the most skillful, but shit's changing now. We'll go into that a little bit more with some news, with one major injury that I would like to talk about with the Lions later on. But I think the Bills are the best team, and the Lions, are they in trouble? I think they're definitely a little bit in trouble right now. Yeah. It doesn't look hot right now for them. They got to figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't agree more. The one thing that I will say with the Lions and Bills is they kind of started the season off similar, a little bit rocky, and have been great since. However, if you include the game since 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, since week 5, the Bills have been on a dominant tear, averaging almost 30 points a game. They've killed the 49ers. They beat the Chiefs by 9. They beat the Seahawks by 21. They beat the Lions, and they've lost to the Rams, which is fucking insane to me. But they beat two of the best teams in all of the NFL. So what I'm getting with is I think that they're the best team in the NFL. But I probably will not be betting for them because I've learned my lesson with the Chiefs. Somehow they're going to do it, unfortunately. However, the Lions, and look, probably about 3 weeks ago, we would have said the Lions are the best team in the league. And probably last week, we would have said they were the best team in the league as well. And for sure, the best team in the NFC. But you continue to look at these injuries. You continue to look what's happened since a lot of their major guys have fallen off or at least got injured. And when I say falling off, I meant to say injured. When they've gotten injured, I mean, dude, the last couple of weeks and games have not looked too pretty, and they've given up quite a few points. On defense, I'm more so worried because they are not getting to the ball. Those injuries have definitely added up, and it's tough because if you don't get to the ball, you see what happens. The Lions score 42, and we could pull this up. I mean, the Lions specifically recently, they've been kind of 50-50. They've been struggling a lot, and the reason for this, I genuinely think, is because of injuries. I mean, for a while, that team was dominant. I mean, we were talking about them as some of the best, if not the best, in the league for weeks on weeks. But since really we've seen in week 13, they gave up 20 points to Chicago Bears. Week 14, 31 to Green Bay. And week 15 now, 42 to the Lions. And mind you, the Packers and Lions have good offenses, but it's definitely something to be worried about. You don't give up 30 points in the playoffs and win. No, I'm sorry. And for the Bills, they're different. And you could say, hey, you just said that about the Lions. Why not the Bills? The Lions don't have the fucking White Soldier or whatever they fucking call him. What's his name?
The Winter Soldier.
The Winter Soldier. They don't have the Winter Soldier. I'm sorry. They don't. They don't have a guy that can literally take his team, throw it on his back, and score 6 touchdowns, 3 rushing and 3 passing. They don't. And the Bills have that. The Bills have that. We'll see it in the playoffs. I think the Bills are the best team. I think the Lions are close second, but to me, they can't be the favorites if they continue to get injuries, and that's what we've seen.
Yeah. Well, let's dive into one of those major injuries right now, actually, going into our news section. I think we can all agree right now this is probably the major injury right now for the Lions is David Montgomery is ruled out for the rest of the season with an MCL injury. Now, you also got to feel a little bit for Montgomery here for a minute here. So David Montgomery's over/under rushing yards this season was 775.5, right? Before he got injured, or when he got injured, right? He ended his season with 775 rushing yards.
No way.
He needed half more rushing yard or one more. you know what I mean? Like,
yes. Just Vegas was under the field just grabbing at his ankle.
Oh, yeah.
Big time. That's crazy work. That's crazy. Yeah. Dude, that fucking sucks.
That's a huge injury for that Lions offense. Too. Look, Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery duo in that backfield. I'm sorry. That's an unbeatable backfield right there. Like,
and it has been insane. All year.
It has been all year.
Which sucks for Hunter's team, by the way, in fantasy.
Well, he's done now.
Or maybe it's decent. Maybe it's decent because his other boy will get a bunch. However, dude, it sucks. I really like Monty. I really, really like Monty. And the Lions are probably my favorite team, the NFC, to at least win it. Like, if there was a team where I'd say, hey, they win it, I'm fine with it, right? The Lions would be that besides the 49ers. Losing David sucks. It sucks completely. It's a complete change of pace back where you go from David to Jahmyr Gibbs. And now they have, you know, film on just Gibbs rather than both of them. Not to say that's bad because Gibbs is top 5 in the league, in my opinion. But you lose a guy like that, and not only is that hard on the field, but that's going to be hard in the locker room. Like you said, they've been the heart and soul of the offense, them two both. Knuckles and whatever the fuck they call it from Sonic. Knuckles and Sonic. And I mean, it's just a combo that I think is going to hurt more so just the team dynamic than just physical play, because I think obviously Jahmyr Gibbs is great, but again, it might hurt the play too, because you don't get that change of pace back. And the Lions, man, they've had 3-4 major injuries. Darius Smith, we saw it with Hutchinson. We see it now with our boy Monty. And it's like, fuck, man. You don't win a lot of Super Bowls in games like this, especially when you have a coach that is super ballsy. I mean, right. How many times have we seen 4th-and-1, hand the ball off to David? And right. David, him being a fucking truck, gets it. So it's definitely going to affect that team. It definitely will. Well, and I'm hoping that they can get through it, but we'll see.
Lions are going to play smarter on offense now.
1,000%.
Well, speaking of injuries, let's just get right to it. Last week, I talked about Derek Carr being injured and whatnot. Well, it's official. Derek Carr is officially unlikely to return this season due to a hand injury now. Does that really impact the Saints right now? Really doesn't. No. Saints aren't going to go to playoffs or anything like that. Still sucks for the Saints though, overall. But hey, at this point, it comes down to it. Better draft pick.
Right.
And I mean, I don't know. There's not much for that. Sucks for Derek Carr.
I mean, no.
It sucks because Derek Carr, beginning of the season, he balled out. He really did. I'll give him his flowers with that. It just, Saints started falling off big time. And what more can you do, really?
You know, Derek, he's a great quarterback. And, you know, you hate to say that some quarterbacks and some players are defined by injuries, but Derek really has been in his whole career. I mean, we saw with the Raiders, he was a top five quarterback, arguably a top five quarterback in his almost MVP season year. And then he breaks his leg and he gets cut or traded from the Raiders because he just is not performing. And then we see him, he goes to the Saints, he plays decent, he gets injured yet again. Then this year, and I mean, he starts out hot, has a couple injuries, and we've seen it. I mean, now it's season ending. And for the Saints, it's very tough because you said they have negative 90 million in cap space or something like that. So it's like, what do they do? I mean, you got to draft someone. Derek Carr's not that guy. It doesn't look like Spencer Rattler's that guy either. So maybe they draft a quarterback. Doesn't really affect him this year, but it is tough to see. And prayers out to both Monty and David.
Right. Well, now we're not really going to talk about injuries too much because teams lately, they're fed up with their quarterbacks right now. They're fed up with their starting quarterbacks. It's insane. For example, starting off, Titans are benching Will Levis. Thank God. About time.
Okay. I want to mention this. Goddamn Mayo Levis. Fuck, dude. I mean, you are down bad right now. So if you guys don't know, Will Levis dated a girl named Gia Duddy. And who was pretty popular before, got popular because there were some leaks. She got even more popular because there were some leaks with, let's just say, Mayo Levis himself. However, she has not been to a game, quote unquote, at least that's what her TikTok has said. And the reason I know this is because I saw this on Instagram, so I will continue to explain. She has not been in a game since they've, and I'm going to put this in quotes, she has not been in a game since they've broken up. She went to this game and posted a couple of videos. Get ready with me. And Gia's really attractive. Gia, if you're watching this, hey, I'm single. I think Will Levis knew because Will Levis ended up throwing 3 picks and got benched and now is not the starter. So Will hasn't seen his girlfriend, presumably, since they've broken up. She goes to one game and he throws 3 interceptions, man. You got a feel for the guy. I mean, he hasn't seen her in probably a year, I think. It's been a while since they've broken up. She goes to one game. This man's just shaking in his boots. Throws 3 interceptions. I want to pull up his stats.
I actually have it. So
okay, please read it.
Let me just keep in mind, too. Will Levis got benched in that game for Mason Rudolph. So let's just... let me just kind of put this in perspective real quick, all right?
Rudolph's going to take your bitch.
Will Levis went 8 for 12, 89 yards, 0 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. Once he got benched, Mason Rudolph put up went 21 for 26, 209 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 interception.
Hey, that boy saw the hush. He knew exactly why Will was playing bad. He said, Mayo Levis, let me take your spot, homeboy. Let me get my own leagues.
Not That's good, crazy, though. Bro. It is not good for Will not Levis, good. Man.
Not
guy.
Good at all.
He was trembling in his boots, you know? Man, it was not good.
Hey. There is one comeback, though. Still what hit, though.
Still hit, though. He still hit, though. Well, all right. Moving on to the next team that will be benching their quarterback is, honestly, and I kind of feel bad for this one, Jameis Winston's getting benched. Ugh.
Yeah, I mean,
he's getting benched for Tom. He's getting
go for it.
I was gonna say, so Jameis Winston's getting benched for getting benched, and who will be starting for the Browns will be Thompson Robinson.
Yeah, Dorian.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he showed a little bit of potential with the Browns. He was drafted out of UCLA, but he's really not that guy either. And I mean, Jameson has had the most Jameis stat line of all time. I mean, his year has been the most Jameis stat year of all time, and his career continues just to be so specific and consistent with Jameis stats. I mean, it just doesn't change. He doesn't change. He starts for a bit. He plays well a couple games. He gets benched. I mean, that's Jameis. He throws one interception for one touchdown. That's Jameis. And that's what we've seen this year. We saw this coming. It sucks, but the Browns ain't shit either. So it is what it is. Yep. It is what it is.
Well, for the next one, this one's actually kind of shocking, I will say. Shocking, not shocking. Kirk Cousins himself, is getting benched. And the boy himself, the draft pick man himself, Michael Penix Jr., will now be starting for the Falcons starting this week. So we finally
get to see. Yeah, this one's pretty crazy.
We're finally going to be able to see what this man is all about. And I'm excited, honestly.
I'm really excited, too, and the couple of plays that he's played, or maybe quarters, or I don't even know how many plays he's actually played, but the ones that I have seen with highlights, he's almost thrown a couple of picks, which obviously as a rookie, you see that and you're like, he's just kind of young. But I feel like the confidence to actually be a starter and your team actually has the confidence in you, you could start the game. You don't have to come in with a fucking shit show, because the games that he has came in, it's been because they're either down or because his starting quarterback, Kirk Cousins, has thrown 4 fucking interceptions. So, but the reason why this one's so shocking is because Kirk Cousins signed a massive contract this offseason.
Massive.
Like it. And before we had like the huge market explosion for wide receivers and quarterbacks, Kirk was one of the huge ones that happened like right after last season. And his contract, which I'm pulling up right now, was 4 years, $180 million. And 50 million signing bonus, 100 million guaranteed. If you do that, you do the math on that, that's 45 million a year. Jesus fuck, dude, that's fucking crazy that Brock's gonna get paid more than that. Yeah. I really hope that's not the case for us and he gets benched. But sorry, I'm just kind of foreshadowing potentially, or not foreshadowing, hoping that that's not foreshadowing. But yeah, I mean, he gets benched making 40 million a year. He's probably still happy, but that is fucking nuts for the Falcons. Yeah. And we called him crazy with that draft pick, but if Michael Penix does fucking pan out, maybe they were crazy in a good way.
Yeah. Well, you know what is not massive? Caleb Williams. He's not looking too good right now. So Caleb Williams looks like he is just done with this season. I'm just going to point it out there right now. The man looks unmotivated. Keeps getting sacked and beat up out there. And the man just can straight up, he cannot catch a break. Zach, why don't you pull up the photo? We're just, this is just proof right here.
We're going to pull this one up real quick.
He just doesn't look.
He just looks defeated. Hey, I will say though.
Defeated man.
At least his nails aren't painted.
Thank God he changed that, right? You think he learned a little bit from that.
But
man,
dude, I mean, this is the thing. And I don't want to continue to glaze this man, because I did for a bit, and I'll completely admit it. However, I do want to defend him a little bit, because that man is getting hit every other fucking play, Amp. every other fucking play. Like, even you're saying it, and you don't like Caleb. Yeah. I mean, it's. I want to look this up right now. Most sacks taken by a rookie quarterback, because he has to be top five. Yeah, Caleb Williams right now has 58 sacks against him.
God.
With 14 games. The most is David Carr with 76. We do the average. Oh, I want to do this real quick. We do the average. Sorry, Keaton texted me as well. I think he wanted us to mention Penix. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We already got you, Keaton. Love you, buddy. 58 divided by 4. That is 4 sacks per game, 62. Bryce Young last year took even more. However, he took 62 in 16 games. That's 3.8. And then David Carr had 76 divided by 16, which is 4.75. Caleb is on pace to have the second most ever at 66, which would be his pace right now in 16 games. But you look at this dude, and he's getting hit every fucking play. Every play, it's like, dude, how can you gain any confidence, any momentum, anything like that when you have that, or you have fucking your wide receivers running wrong routes or running out of bounds and then just staying out of bounds like DJ Moore did a couple weeks ago? Yeah. You got to feel for the guy. You got to feel for this team, and eventually the fans, sucks for you, but maybe you move on, because this organization's shit. Shit. Yeah. You need to draft offensive linemen. You need to build around Caleb, because I don't think he's bad when he's had decent protection. We've seen 350-yard games.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that, but he is down bad, and, you know, it is what it is. I want to bring this one up because I put this actually in the notes, and the defensive player of the year race right now has been wide open for a couple of weeks, I feel like, and maybe really all year, because there hasn't really been a breakout pass rusher, which is typically the type of guy that wins it. So I'm going to share my screen, and I want to show you guys something that I think is really interesting. So here's my screen. Here are the betting odds from 5 days ago from Vegas Insider. So we have TJ Watt at minus 275, Patrick Surtain, Xavier McKinney, Miles Garrett. That's crazy. They have him spelled wrong. That's wild. Will Nails. Anderson. Yeah, that's crazy. Danielle Hunter, Kirby Joseph, Chris Jones, Andrew Van Ginkel, who's had a great year, by the way. Andrew has been really good. However, there is a guy on a team right now that has a 90% chance of making the playoffs and has turned their defense from one of the worst, or maybe mid in the pack last year, to one of the best this year, who is not the guy that was mentioned on this team, which is the Broncos. We saw Patrick Surtain at number 2, who has had a crazy, crazy good year. In my opinion, easily the best cornerback in the league. TJ Watt, I just want to pull up these stats and compare it to the guy that I have. And look, we don't talk a lot of college ball on this, but this is kind of the issue with a lot of these awards. A lot of them are just popularity contests. And I don't want to say this completely, and it looks like TJ is actually hurt right now, but we look at these odds, right? TJ Watt right now is the favorite if he is not hurt. However, I want to point this out. Nick Bonito, who is a second-year player from Oklahoma, has had a breakout season. He was drafted 64th in 2022 or 2023. From Oklahoma, so I've got to watch him play a little bit. However, this man has 11 and a half sacks, 41 combined tackles, two touchdowns in the last 2 weeks, and a couple forced fumbles. TJ Watt, on the other hand, this year has 11 and a half sacks, a couple forced fumbles, and does not have any touchdowns. So you compare this, and he has 54 tackles. You compare this. Nick has more sacks, which typically, or they have the same amount of sacks, but he has more touchdowns, which typically a touchdown or a sack is the number one reason why you are the defense player of the year. If you are the best pass rusher in the league, you typically are the defense player of the year. We see this with TJ. He's having a good year. However, I mean, I don't think it's necessarily fair to not have Nick Bonito in the top 10. The last 2 weeks, he scored more touchdowns than a couple of quarterbacks. This man has been balling the fuck out, and I want to give him a shout out. And the Broncos a shout out, because they have been fun to watch, man. They have been fun to watch. That would be a team that I would not mind winning. I'll say it straight up. Nick Bonito. I've watched him since Oklahoma, thought he was a great pass rusher, little light in the ass, has gained weight. That man has been on a fucking tear recently. And that interception that he had last week, and I don't know if Aiden and I really handled the situation too well. You know what? I'll pull it up real quick. I just want to show you guys this because this was a really cool play. You look at this, and there was an interview afterwards where the guy that is throwing this, which give me 15 seconds. The guy that was throwing this, A9 Mitchell, was the rookie, and he said that that was the game plan. He said that that was the type of play that he was supposed to do. And you look at this, Anthony Richardson throws it to him kind of in the flats, and then it's a trick play. He's supposed to throw it back, or he's potentially supposed to run it. And we'll play it right here for you guys. But, yeah, I mean, I'll continue what I'm going to say after this. So he throws it. You can either run it or you throw it back. Nick Benito, prime Ed Reed, just comes out of nowhere, pick six. Second touchdown in 2 weeks as a defensive player. He's having a breakout. But the reason I said that is because Aiden and I said that that was the type of play that was ran. That was what he was supposed to do. And as a guy, he was like, yeah, Ed Reed, he's like, it was good play call until number 15 turned into prime Ed Reed and intercepted it. I want to say a couple things. One, I don't think he threw that ball more than 20 miles per hour. I mean, he lobbed it, so I'm going to blame it on him. Two, if you see a guy there, why throw it? But I don't want to overshadow that. I don't think he handled that completely correct. And maybe that was the game plan, and maybe that was the call that he was supposed to do. But that and Nick Benito, man, he's my defense player of the year, genuinely. I think he is. Or Patrick Surtain. It's one of those guys from the Broncos, and it has to be, in my opinion. I mean, at least if Nick continues to do this, he should be top five, and maybe Patrick wins. I'm fine with it because he's had a crazy year, but I wanted to at least, you know, picture that and show you guys that Nick Benito belongs in this conversation. And next year, he might be one of the favorites if he continues this.
Yeah, no, I could agree with you 100% on that. It's good, Zach. Do you have anything else to add? Are you all good?
No, that's it for the news. We can get into fantasy,
We'll get into fantasy. This is going to be real quick, honestly. We'll start off with me. I have lost to Mitch in round one. My team decided to shit the bed. The score was 94-122. Mitch now moves on to play John in the second round of playoffs. My best player on the team was Alvin Kamara. He could have got more, but he left the game early because of injury. Zach Ertz was my worst player with 4 points. He could have got more, but injury. So fun. My mid players were Saquon, Kyler, Jacoby, Jake Bates, and Commander's defense. Everyone decided just not to really show up.
Half the team.
half the team. Like, it was bad. It was just bad all around. I was like, God, this sucks. Even my bench didn't even play great. I was like, all right.
It happens.
Whatever. Man. Overall, I still made the right moves. That was honestly the max amount of points I probably could have scored. That was on my team. Is what it is. I'll just move on to Keaton real quick. Keaton did beat T. Lou 135-147. Keaton is officially safe from being in last place. Congratulations to Keaton. Keaton's best player was Amon-Ra St. Brown with 37 points. His worst was DK. His most mid. He had a few mid players, but I decided to put Kyren in there with 13. But he definitely had other good players that really performed for him last week. But it's official now, though. I may have not have moved on in the playoffs, but I am still safe. I obviously don't need to do the punishment. I won't be in last place. Keaton is now officially safe from last place. And now T. Lou moves on to play Zach. Zach, you can go.
Who is not safe from the punishment. And I have not been safe for the last 2 weeks because I got a bye as the second worst team in our league at 6-8. So I didn't set my lineup. However, I want to say, and say this without being too upset, fuck you, Davante Adams. Fuck you, bitch ass. Because this motherfucker, for the first time this goddamn year, scored more than fucking 30 points. 42.8 goddamn points on my bye? Fuck you, prick. First fucking 40-pointer all year, and it has to be on my goddamn bye, Davante. All in the second half. All in the second half. So, yeah, I am going to crash out. I set that up completely, and now I have a fucking matchup against T. Lou that I'm probably going to lose. My stomach, ass. 2 weeks from now, ass. Pooping out my arse. That's what I'm fucking preparing for, and it's because of you, Davante. You, because you couldn't do this consistently. I'm blaming you. That's it.
Well, that's a crazy crash out right there, by the way. Yeah. Well, I don't have a crazy stat this week. Do you have a crazy stat? No. Okay. Well, we move right on into the week.
Sorry, Keaton.
But we will move on to the week 16 predictions. And oh boy, Zach. Yeah.
At least we have some decent games. Like, this is a lot well balanced compared to last week.
It is. We're going to have some good games this week. Let's just start off with Thursday. All right. Thursday night football, prime time. We have Broncos at Chargers. Honestly, this, when you look at this game, just judging based off of names really of the teams and everything, game. Like, it back then, probably two, 3 years ago, you look at this game and you go, man, this is a horrible game. This is a great game. I'm excited for this game.
And it's damn near a must win for the Chargers.
It is a must win for the Chargers right now. Broncos, honestly, if Broncos win this game too, I'm pretty sure Broncos will pretty much be solidified in playoffs.
They are like at 90% right now or something crazy. Yeah. Like, they'd have to lose and a couple of teams would have to win.
I have it right here, actually. Right now, the Broncos are 93%.
Exactly.
And then right now, the Chargers are 86, though. They're 86. Oh. So
damn, there's gonna be three from that division. That's crazy. Yeah. I got the I have the Broncos. I don't think the Chargers are gonna have enough.
They've
been playing, I just don't see it. I think the Broncos are gonna win it.
Yeah, you know what? They're at home. I think I'm actually gonna take the Chargers on this. Ladd is healthy again. I think that this is gonna be a better matchup for the Chargers. I think that the Chargers can win this, but I think it's gonna be a very close game. This is not gonna be a blowout.
They might be able to run well against the Broncos too, because that's where they've kind of struggled. So
right. But not with J.K. Dobbins, though. They still have Gus Edwards. You never know. This is gonna be an interesting game. It's not gonna be a blowout, though. This is gonna be a very close scoring game.
Agreed.
And then to mix things up now, by the way, everyone, just for everyone that doesn't know, there are two games on Saturday. All right. So let's keep that in mind. All right.
Whoa.
Two games on Saturday.
Two good games, too.
So we have a morning
game. Dude, fuck the NFL.
I know.
Why the fuck are they doing this? Wait, there's college football on.
I know. So the first game is going to be in the morning at 10 a.m. Then the next game will be in the afternoon. So Saturday morning, the Texans at Chiefs will be playing. I mean, like I said, the Chiefs sacrificed a goat in the middle, right in the middle of their stadium. Patrick Mahomes' ankle is going to be fine. It's going to be like nothing
ever
happened.
Unless he doesn't play, the Chiefs are going to win that game.
Yeah, but I'm still going to take the Chiefs. It's the Chiefs.
Yep.
Yeah. Then we move on to the afternoon game, Steelers at Ravens. Honestly, this is going to be a great game as well, I feel like. But I think that they're going to... This could be a trap game for the Ravens for sure. I can see this definitely being a trap game, but I still see the Ravens winning this. I think they are going to utilize Derrick Henry a little bit more, and Lamar's going to pass a little bit more than usual as well.
I want to see this.
I'm going to take the Ravens, though.
So I know Pittsburgh. Okay, so Pittsburgh is winning this by one game. They're winning their division by one game. To me, this is a must win for the Ravens. I think I'm going to take the Ravens just because they're motivated to win this and they want to win that division. And when I say it's a must win, I think the Ravens are still going to get into the playoffs. However, it's damn near a must win. It's damn near a must win to stay competitive in their division. And that's what I meant when I said must win. I'm going to take the Ravens.
Okay. Then we move on to Sunday, everything back to normal now. Sunday morning, we have the Rams at Jets. Sorry, Zach. Devontae's not going to get you 42 points against that Rams defense. He won't. I'm going to go with
the Rams. He'll probably score fucking 12.2, and I'm going to go with the Rams too. Fuck you, Devontae. Still cracking out, bro.
We have the Eagles at Commanders. I mean, Commanders are falling off. They're falling off hard, and I said earlier, Eagles, they are dominant right now. Yep.
Yeah.
Eagles.
Running with the hot hand. Give me the Eagles.
Next game, we kind of have a snooze fest, but it's also going to be interesting because of Penix. We have Giants at Falcons. It's still going to be a snooze fest, but honestly, it's going to be the Falcons. I mean, Giants are horrible, but
it's going to be the Falcons.
Yeah.
I agree. Give me the Falcons.
Next game, honestly, this is a weird game. Cardinals at Panthers. I'm going to take the Cardinals, but honestly, right now, the entire NFC West right now looks absolutely horrible. But maybe besides the Rams and Seahawks, but honestly, even the Rams and Seahawks to me are more on the mid side of things. But I will take the Cardinals over the Panthers.
I want to say this. The Panthers were favored for the first time in like 22 games last game and then got blown out by the Cowboys. There's just no way they're going to win this game either. Maybe they do because they're at home, but I'm going to take the Cardinals. I thought that was funny. First time favored by 3.5 points against the Cowboys getting blown out. That's a momentum killer. That is for damn sure.
Oh, yeah.
You just don't see the Panthers. I don't see it.
Yeah, no, I don't see it. Next game, we have the Browns at Bengals. They're in Cincinnati. Joe Burrow, he's just going to keep doing he's going to keep being Joe Burrow. I think he's going to be fine, except that defense has got to lock the fuck in or else he's going to crash out. But yeah, nevertheless, give me the Bengals.
Give me the Bengals as well.
Next game, we have the Titans at Colts. Jesus Christ.
This
I have nothing to say. I have no description for this game. Give me the Colts.
Yeah, I mean, this might be the worst game of the week by a good margin. Give me the Colts.
And geez, another boring game. Lions at Bears. Not saying it's boring because both teams are shit. I'm saying it's boring because there's a dominant team and a shit team.
Yeah.
No description
with
for
all
this
the injuries. Game. This might be a 21 point game where the Lions beat the Bears.
Yeah. Give me the Lions. We now move on to the afternoon games. Even these games are okay. Vikings at Seahawks is our first afternoon game starting at 1:05 Pacific Standard Time.
I mean,
I have my opinion. I think Vikings are going to win this, but I feel like it could be a trap game for them as well. And I think Seahawks may win it because this is honestly a must win for the Seahawks right now. And they know that coming into this game. But right now, I'm sorry, the past few games that the Vikings have played, it's been pure dominance. They've been utilizing Aaron Jones more often now. Jordan Addison's getting into the game more. Plus, you still have Justin Jefferson in there. Sam Darnold, sure, he's throwing picks every once in a while, but the man's balling out.
Balling low-key.
I think I may still go with the Vikings on this.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. You just read my mind. I mean, I think the Seahawks are going to come out and obviously have to play kind of hot because this is damn near a must-win game for them if they want to continue to be number one in the NFC. However, I think this game is going to be low-scoring for some strange reason, and it's going to be very close, but the Vikings are going to pull it out. I see this game as like a 21-17 game. The Vikings win.
Yeah. Patriots at Bills. Give me Bills. I don't want the Patriots to win. I don't want them to win. I want us to right now we're third for the draft pick right now. I want to keep it that way. I want to keep it that way. I want to be third, second, or first. That's what I want.
Agreed.
Please lose, Patriots. Thank you.
Patriots
Bills. Yes, go Bills.
The Bills might slaughter them.
Not go Bills, but you know what I mean. Next game, Jaguars at Raiders. Jesus, my God.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I kind of want the Raiders to win this just so they don't get ahead of the Patriots for the draft. And the Jags are just shit. I don't know. Maybe Mac Jones will shit on them. You never really know. But
just give me the home team. Give me the Raiders.
Give me the Raiders. 49ers at Dolphins. What an interesting game this one is, actually. Honestly is probably the biggest 50-50 game of the week right now. Very similar teams. They're not even both in a crash out. It's mainly just the Niners right now in this crash out weird stage that they're in right now. Dolphins are playing just to play right now. I think I'm going to go with the Dolphins for this game.
Yep, same here.
Wow.
I'm going to go with the Dolphins. This is my second time voting against the 49ers because at this point, I'm just going to be a realist. Even before I had some optimism, now I don't. I think A-Chain might go crazy against us, even though we played great against running backs last week. And we do have our linebacker core together. I just have a feeling him or Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle is going to play. Jalen Waddle's
out.
Someone's going to go crazy against us. It's just bound to happen at this point. That's just how this year's been, and I just see it happen.
Then we move on to Sunday Night Football. Bucks at Cowboys. Will the Cowboys win their second game at home? Will it happen? Nope. I don't think so. Give me the Bucks and Baker Mayfield. Yep.
Give me the Bucks, baby. They've been low-key on a roll. That last game was kind of crazy against the Chargers.
They're heating up. They're looking good.
Jesus.
Then Monday Night Football. God. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Monday Night Football. We have the Saints at Packers. Give me. I'm not even going to put any context with this. Give me the wide receiver three in the Packers / Brett Favre 2.0.
Pack go. Go Pack go. That's all I'm gonna say.
Well, that's the episode. That's everything. That's all the games. This is all the news we got for you right now. And that's everything. Zach, is there anything else you would like to quickly add on before we wrap this up?
Nope. Next week actually is the week of Christmas, right? So I don't think we will be recording. So see us in 2 weeks for this episode and the next episode of In the End Zone and a live that we'll probably be doing. But in the meantime, go watch this, comment, like, subscribe. Jack us off maybe if you want to.
Yeah, can do that too.
Whatever you're thinking, just do
whatever you're thinking. Just go ahead, do it, and do it, boot it. I don't know. Whatever you want to do. Yep.
Well, all right, fellas. Until next time.
Until next time.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.